From the broken ruins of Babylon, this is End of Days Radio. I am your host, Daniel, broadcasting to you from the beautiful, shimmering Emerald City right here in the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Hello, how are you? I'm so glad to see all of you here today. Today's guest is none other than the legendary Alberto Daniel Hill. Alberto Daniel Hill is a writer, hacker, and cryptocurrency expert who was involved in some serious cryptocurrency projects. He is here to discuss his imprisonment and the media manipulation surrounding the event and everything that has happened since he was last on this show. So we've got quite a bit to talk about. We're going to have a good time. And why waste time? I'm going to go ahead and dial him up. Let's do this. Okay, so now we are all ready. Awesome.
Okay.
Yes, so Alberto, how have you been doing, my friend?
We last talked on January 24th. If I'm not wrong, last year. It's been almost 1 year, and well, things if things were crazy at that time, right now things are way much more crazier. So imagine. This is for sure for a book, for a TV series, for something like that, because it's a story that, oh my God, It's hard to believe what the things that are happening. I will be talking about that in the next minute, and people will probably not believe. I mean, the things that have happened to me, my story. I don't know how many of those who are watching this have heard my story before. But it's a story that most of the people say that is crazy. It's crazy, it's hard to believe. And this is something that they cannot accept that is happening in the country, in the world right now, but it is happening. And I will tell you the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me kind of try to set this up and go ahead and correct me at any point. You were what's called a security analyst, right?
I am an information security professional. Well, I was an information security professional until 2017 when suddenly I appear in the cover of every newspaper in my country. I was breaking news everywhere here, and they start calling me the hacker. But the thing is that hacker, in Spanish at least, has two meanings. I mean, it's not like a hacker is somebody who is bad. No, a hacker could be a pirate. I mean, yeah, somebody who is bad, and somebody who has a lot of skills in computers and is able to design secure systems and identify opportunities to improve systems that are already running. So I don't mind being called hacker. Most of the people associate the word hacker with something negative. I am proud of it. I'm a hacker and I'm proud of it.
But you're a little bit different than what some people might have an idea of a hacker. You're an ethical hacker.
Yeah. I am the most beloved hacker in the world. this is so great. I mean, everybody loves me, and well, despite all the messages I get in order to hack other people, Facebook and all that. Well, no, people really, I don't know. They feel like I don't know, sorry for my story and all the things that I have to live. And, well, they are really so good with me. I mean, in Twitter, which is the social network that I use the most, I am surprised that nobody makes bad comments about me, about my situation, or say things that are not appropriate. The only person who has ever insult me, it's not the word, but treat me not very nice, was an actor from the 80s. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about.
No. Would you mind sharing that story? That's interesting, the 80s. I'm trying to think of who that could be.
Yeah, well, basically, it's a person who, well, after telling you this, you will be blocked. That person will block you. This person was an actor from the 80s. He was part of a TV series which was called Charles in Charge.
What? was it Tony Danza?
Scott Baio.
Oh, Scott Baio. That's right, Scott Baio. I'm getting him mixed up with the other dude. Yeah. Yeah, Scott Baio. Oh, my God. He was rude to you, huh?
Yeah. The thing is that, well, in that TV series, he worked with another actress who was Nicole Eggert, that later was known for her role in Baywatch. She became very famous because of Baywatch. When Pamela Anderson was in Baywatch, she started Baywatch as well. And, well, the thing is that there's some issues between them. And this is another story, but Nicole Eggert and I, we are kind of friends. So the thing is that this Nicole, at 2 years ago, filed charges because she said that Scott Baio abused of her when she was 17. And, well, it's all about all legal issues and all things that are crazy. But the thing is that he associates me as a friend of Nicole and as a hacker, which for most of the people, a hacker, okay, a hacker. What can a hacker do? I mean, this person might be dangerous. I mean, this person might be able to do things that, I don't know, he might be able to know my dirty secrets. So most of the people are kind of, they don't like to have in front of them a hacker. So, well, the thing is that he blocked me. He said so many things about me. He called me, well, that was very funny, I was a self-proclaimed hacker, which, I don't know. I thought to myself, oh, my God, am I so important that this person who was an actor very famous in the 80s takes, I mean, worries so much about me. He spends so much time about me. He writes on the internet about me. He tweets about me. And, I mean, I didn't do anything to him. I have never hacked him. I will never hack him. But the thing is that he's the only person who has treated me, not in a very nice way. But for me, I don't give a... I mean, it's just for the records, and I just have fun with that. For me, it's funny. I mean,
yeah, I've heard other things about him. I think that he's probably a jerk to a lot of people, so I don't think you're alone there.
Sorry?
Oh, I've heard things about him, Scott Baio. I've heard that he can be kind of a jerk. You know, a few people that have met him.
Yeah. Yeah, not only him, but well, I'm not going to talk about his family and his wife and all that. But the thing is that he has supporters that are the Scott Baio's army. And when I first heard that, I said, what? This person has an army? We're crazy. And the thing is that he sent messages that are very aggressive, I mean, to this person that supports him in order to attack the people that are against him. And that's not nice. I mean, we should tolerate each other. It's not fair. And in the case of this woman, Nicole Eggert, I mean, she's a mother. She's 40-something. Her birthday is in 2 days. But the thing is that she's a mother of two, and she sometimes she feels very insecure, frightened, because she doesn't know. I mean, some crazy supporter of Scott Baio might appear and do who knows what with her. So it's not nice, the message that he sends to his supporters. I don't know. He's a very strange person. I don't know him. I don't know him, but his behavior is very strange and not something that regarding this abuse accusation, he took by himself a polygraph, analysis, but he bought the polygraph and he ran the analysis himself. Now, it was so crazy. I don't know what's wrong with him, but in his case, I would just shut up, leave Nicole alone, go on with his life, because after all, the thing that Nicole has reported has prescribed. He's not going to be prosecuted for anything, because those things happened 40 years ago. So why don't he just shut up, say nothing, instead of all these things that only create anger, hate, and so many toxic feelings that are useless. No, that thing I don't understand.
It's probably because he was incredibly popular back then, and now he doesn't really seem to have a whole lot going on. A lot of those types, they kind of just get a little bitter, or they get on drugs, or they get involved in these strange sort of hostile situations.
Yeah. No, the thing is that, as I told you, I know nothing about his life. I've been learning some things in the past month. For example, in early 2000s, he was going to the Playboy Mansion, and he was bragging that he slept with more than 100 women or blah blah blah. Which for me, bragging things like that are not something a man would really do. And the thing is that he got expelled from the Playboy Mansion. Nobody gets expelled from the Playboy Mansion, man.
Yeah, how does that happen? All they do is have orgies over there. How do you get kicked out of there and banned?
Yeah, I would have to find out what was the reason. I mean, he's the only person in the world who got expelled from that. I mean, that's so funny. And yeah, I think I agree with you. He was very famous. He had it all. And then after many years, he has no projects. No, I mean, his life is I don't know. It's not the life that he used to have. And well, he probably wants some fame or attention doing this kind of things. But he could be doing other positive things instead of the things that he's doing. His personality is obviously very toxic. From my point of view, of course.
Now, let's backtrack a little bit. So, back to Uruguay, you are working as a tech advisor and a security specialist, and you're minding your own business. You have a great job. You're making plenty of money. And somehow, things go crazy where you get accused of doing something that would make no sense for somebody like you to do. And it was so bad. Oh, what's that?
Sorry, when you were mentioning that, this was part of my ending.
No, yeah, I love that. Yeah. I have one myself. I got it around here somewhere. No.
Continue. Yeah, you are right.
But you're just minding your own business, and you are involved in security, and you have the tools that somebody would have that is involved in security. And because you have these tools, you get labeled some kind of super hacker.
Absolutely. Yeah. The thing is, as you said, I was living, I had everything in my life. I had a beautiful relationship with who was my girlfriend. Money was not a problem. I mean, I was making a lot of money, not only because of the security, the security things that I was doing, but because I was working in security as well as in cryptocurrencies, which was a combination that at that time was, wow, it was exploding, and I was able to, it was like I was in the end of the 90s with the dot-com market, and I was able to do pretty well with the stocks.com. The same happened at that period of time with cryptocurrencies and, well, security, and I was making a lot of money. Yeah, I was doing pretty well. I was having an ice cream with my girlfriend one Saturday, and the next Saturday I was in a cell, frozen, didn't have no idea of what was going on, and I never returned to my house after for 8 months after that. Oh man, that was something that I never expected in my, nobody is an experience that nobody expects, and if you're lucky enough to live that, you think, fuck, I won the lottery. I mean, what are the odds of living something like this? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And let me lay this out for you, everybody out there. Alberto worked as an internet security specialist. His job was to strengthen the company he worked for, to strengthen their defenses against hackers. But these people are so stupid. They're so clueless as to what goes on in the security industry that they thought Alberto was a hacker. That's how dumb they are.
Absolutely. The thing is, for example, what really happened? Okay, because the Interpol came and knocked down my door, and they execute a search warrant, and they took everything from my house, and I didn't know what's going on. And when they entered my apartment, they were like, wow, oh my God, look at this, and what's this, and what this? And they were asking me, what is this? And I was explaining them everything, but they were shouting at me. The thing is that these people are not qualified, they are incompetent in what they are doing. They are not the appropriate people to do this kind of job. So they found blank credit cards, and then in the newspapers appeared that I was cloning credit cards. After 2 years and 5 months, how many credit cards, fraudulent credit cards they found? None, because I have never cloned a credit card. The same with all the other things, I mean, that they took from my house. If you see the pictures from the press release of the police, they captured like tons of equipment. Well, And they basically for them, they were in a table, very nicely placed. And for them was, wow, we captured a hacker. We are really police. We are really cops. The thing is that, okay, nobody knows that 2 months ago, the judge ordered that everything that was seized, including this, including all these computers that you are seeing here, should be returned to me because none of them were tools or were result of any crime. So, but they were returned to me. But the thing is that in here in Uruguay, in the media, nobody knows that. For the record, I am the person of 2017 that was a cyber terrorist that had all those things that was the worst criminal in the world. But they don't know that things that are happening, that are proving that I am not at all the person they painted in that moment.
And it's my understanding that within the last week, you actually finally left Uruguay for good?
I am very lucky that, I cannot leave Uruguay for good because of the process that is still ongoing. But I got a job offer that I took that is regarding to a financial company that is based in Venezuela and is one of the 16 cryptocurrency companies that is allowed to trade with the cryptocurrency, the petro, which is the cryptocurrency of the government of Venezuela. So I was offered the position of Chief Information Security Officer for this financial company, which has ATMs with cryptocurrencies all over Venezuela. I mean, it's a huge project that is going to also expand in the rest of South America. I'm going to Venezuela from time to time, but I will be coming back to Uruguay and I will be working from here most of the time, but traveling on a regular basis to Venezuela and to other countries where these things are being implemented, which imagine security and cryptocurrencies. It's a dream job for me.
And when we last spoke, you were in the process, I believe, of trying to get them to give up the server. Is that correct? They were trying. They wouldn't give your side access to everything, including the server where the hack supposedly took place.
Yeah, the thing is that server is disappeared. There is no server. And that is something that really upsets me a lot because you know what? Let me tell you. You know what the evidence that they have is? Can you read there?
It's a little blurry. Can you back it up just a little bit? No, the camera's too blurry, sorry.
Okay, basically, it's just a paper with logs of a firewall with certain connections. And you know why? Well, the police, when they arrest me, in all the newspapers, the press release from the police said that they were able to trace the thing people probably might not know that a medical provider in February 2017 was apparently hacked and they apparently received an email asking for a certain amount of bitcoins in order not to release certain information. That was the crime that this medical provider went to the police and they started investigating, and they were able to arrest me because they said that they could trace the IP address of the email of the email with extortion to the house of the person who sent it. So basically my house, which was absolutely impossible because I did not send any email, and should I have sent anything, I would not have sent it from my house, that's for sure. I mean, that's something that it's obvious, but obvious for everybody except for the judge. But now that I have the file in my hand, I can see that the only thing that is connected to me is one connection on January 31, 2016 at 3 p.m. scanning, I mean, making a ping on the server. That's the only thing that they have record about me. I mean, I didn't even connect to the system. I didn't log in. I didn't download anything. They just have a connection that, I mean, when I turn on the computer, your computer connects to many sites that you usually connect, and they see if they have changed. I don't know. Many things happen without you knowing that. And in the case of the medical provider, as I said, my ex-girlfriend was part of that system. She usually asked me to access there and to look for information for her. So I didn't even log in, and there were two IP addresses from Uruguay. And then the thing that they stole the database and all that. You know, I have the logs here in my hand about the outgoing traffic to the attack. What's the size of a database of a medical provider with including everything, financial information, anything? Well, I don't know. We're probably talking about terabytes of information. I have no idea. But the outgoing traffic during the attack was 130 megabytes, which is like 3 MP3s. So the database was never compromised. I mean,
so basically what you're saying is the numbers absolutely do not add up. It would have been impossible for that much data to be exchanged based on what the record said.
Exactly. That's something that they never, I mean, it's something that for me is so obvious that the supposed attack, okay, I don't know. I have this, which I cannot verify, going to the server and analyzing the logs from the server, actually, because the server is they didn't keep the server, but this is not consistent with an attack of the way they picture it. So everything has been so far a lie, and the more I see about the file, the more information that is makes no sense. That I see no crime here. I see no nothing that, I mean, they painted this as an extortion, very very serious, very very serious incident. But based on the information that I have, for me, that I have certain experience on doing a triage of an incident, according to the information that I have, I can tell you that, okay, if a red is a very, very serious problem, this is probably a green. The system is not dying. The system is doing pretty well, and they painted it as a red, when for me it's a green. And not only that, I made reports in 2014 and 2015 about important security problems that this medical provider had. And at the end of last year, when I got the file in my hands, a complete copy of, it's 1,000 pages file, and I read it all, I read that the director of security of the government of Uruguay was asked by the judge if that report previous other problems in the system, and the director of security answers that I don't remember. I have checked some emails, but I didn't find anything about Alberto reporting some problems. Man, in your career, you can forget many, many things, many security issues, such as a virus in a computer or something like that. But those incidents that are serious, very serious, you don't forget them. And the first incident was admin. With admin, you could get access to anything that you don't forget. And he was the one who answered that report. And then I made another report. And well, the thing is that, man, the answer that he said that he didn't remember. Okay, imagine the judge. She probably thought, okay, this guy, Alberto, he's a liar. He's lying to us. I mean, I believe in the director of security. If he doesn't remember, he probably didn't send anything. He's lying to us. And no, that was something that made me open my eyes and made me have an idea of where to look in order to find, start finding what's behind of all this. You understand me?
Yeah. I do want to kind of explain for everybody listening that didn't hear the first show, and correct me if I have this wrong, but basically what happened was medical records were hacked and somebody was trying to use them for blackmail, and you were wrongfully accused based on doing simple security analyst work that you do.
Yeah, in this particular case, I did nothing. I did nothing. Before, yeah, I made some security checks and found some problems that I report them. I access to the system with the maximum credentials, but I immediately report them. But in this particular case of this supposed attack, I did nothing.
And that's, I want to make it clear to everybody that that's not abnormal for somebody like Alberto to do. So I own websites. I build websites. People have done that to me. They've hacked my sites and sent me emails saying, hey, brother, you have some issues going on here. We're letting you know you need to upgrade your software, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't do it out of anything malicious, and they could have completely taken out everything that I had, but that wasn't their intent. Their intent was to show me security holes that I had in my system.
Yeah, and the thing is that after all this, it's amazing. I have been in touch with the best of the best information security professionals in the world. One of them, after my story, he said, don't fucking help them anymore. I mean, those guys should establish bug bounty programs and give you the warranties that you will not have any problems or legal issues trying to help or doing things like I was doing. Well, after what happened to me, what's happening in Uruguay, everybody finds a problem and they publish it on Twitter instead of reporting it to the CERT, because they say, No, that time somebody reported to the search, he ended up in prison.
So, that's so dangerous.
Yeah, so basically for them, I mean, it's like, oh, fuck, why don't they report that to us? No, man, if you behave like that, now everybody thinks of Alberto, and, well, you are doing things wrong.
And what's really crazy about it is you would think that they would just look at the facts that Alberto does this for a living. He gets paid to do this. He doesn't need to blackmail anybody. He gets paid a lot. These guys get, everybody out there knows how much these guys make. There's no reason why he would try to blackmail anybody. Whoever did that probably lives in Russia or China, and they're probably really poor. They're probably part of the mafia or something like that.
Yeah, not only that, but in the email that was supposed asking for the ransom, he said, send the bitcoins to the following address, where the address is empty. There is no address. So they send an email where without an address to pay for the ransom.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's the most pathetic thing that I have ever seen. I mean, it's the most pathetic attempt of extortion in my life I've ever seen, and they accuse me of that. Man, come on.
you would at least remember the email.
Man, come on. That's ridiculous. That's something that it's something that it was made by somebody who is amateur, who doesn't understand much about anything. Or I don't know. Or something is this. For me, one thing is clear: things are not like they were painted that they were. I mean, the reality differs from what the things that we were told, and well, from everything. I mean, it's different. Something else was is behind this. Something else happened. I have my doubts about the attack of the server, of the stealing the database, of the ransomware.
Alberto, basically what you are getting at in the here and now is that you feel that this may have been some kind of elaborate setup.
Yeah. But imagine, a month after this happened, 16 people from that medical provider were sent to prison because of fraud. They were making some movements of money that were fraudulent, and they were sent to prison. How about this being an excellent opportunity to kind of get rid of the servers with the financial information or with certain information that might compromise these people? I don't know. That would be a strategy to do. I mean, how do we do that? We create an attack, but it's pathetic, the attack. The ransom is really bad. I mean, they should have put a little bit more of brain in that. And well, and thanks to that, they can maybe justify that the server disappeared with all the information about all that.
Yeah, the thing is, if they did put an email in there, that's one more server and one more computer, because obviously that email address would have been looked at. So I think that you're onto something. The fact that they did not include the email means that they did not want anyone to look too much into it and perhaps find out that it was faked from the start.
Yeah, because, for example, my equipment was seized for 2 years and 3 months. Another guy who was also his IP appeared there, and they seized his computer and cellular, the same. But the evidence is in the servers. They should have kept the servers locked. I mean, because the rule number one of evidence, despite the evidence is a gun, is ADN, is a computer, is that rule number one of evidence, you preserve it, period. That's the thing. and the evidence is in that server or that server or those servers involved in the medical provider, period. I have some friends who are drug dealers from prison that, well, they had charges on drugs, and the drugs were not were kept. The drugs that they seized from them were kept, and they were able to ask for analyze the drugs in order to see what kind of product it was to get a reduced to get a reduced sentence. But why were they able to do that? Because they didn't they kept the drugs. I mean, even though after a certain time, according to the laws, drugs should be destroyed as well as guns should be destroyed, but you have a certain time where they are stolen and you can ask and say, hey, can I ask for a third independent party to analyze this? That's something that it's a golden rule, and it's a right that everybody should have, that I do not have. I do not have the right to go and ask for a review of an independent review of the things that happen in the server. All I have is papers that mean nothing. I mean, I could perfectly go to Word and type this in a Word and go to the police and make a report of a crime. No, the police would come to my house and take a look at the computers from where these documents came from and analyze the metadata and all that in order to make sure that this is something that is something that is the same that as it is in the computer. But no, I just have papers which are for me and for legal issues. They don't mean anything, and for me, they have no value.
And so when you were in prison, you had, you talked about this a little bit last time, but you had some guys actually try to use you for your ability to, they try to use you for your abilities and skills. They recognized that you were somebody that could help them create some major crimes in the underworld.
Yeah, that's right. That's very nice. Okay. After 6 months of being in prison, in Uruguay, you have the possibility of, okay, if you have good behavior, you can, after 3 months, start asking to leave the prison for 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours a week. You have that possibility. Well, I was sent to prison basically because my this case wasn't supposed to be to serve time in prison for this, because the judge thought that it was very, very the probability of me escaping was very high, and that I had high skills of information security, that I could alter the process that was ongoing. Okay. The thing is that after 6 months, somebody appeared in the prison during the visitor's time, and that I didn't know that person. And he started talking to me. He told me he was he had many companies, and he really wanted to know more about my case and how I mean, he didn't understand why I was sent to prison when the government should hire me instead of sending me to prison. And well, the thing is that this person got so very interested on me and my case that in 3 days, they called me from the prison, and they told me, Alberto, you have been granted 72 hours a week of leaving the prison. So from that moment on, I could be outside prison 3 days a week, every week, which is crazy. I mean, nobody gets that. It's progressive. I mean, first you get 12 hours, 48 hours a month. Then the next month you get a little bit more, but nobody gets the maximum at the first. So in the prison, they pick up the phone and they call the judge and they ask her, hey, is this correct? I mean, we have never seen something like this. It's like 72 hours a week. Yeah, and it was correct. The thing is that when I started leaving prison, this guy was always there, stalking me. At first, he was being nice and all. But at one point, he came to my house and he told me, Alberto, I want you to hack this bank. Oh, fuck, man. You want me to hack a bank, man? I want to leave prison. I want to recover my life. I'm not a criminal. And you want me to hack a bank? I mean, you want me to enter into a criminal career? Man, give me a break. The thing is that why was I granted that? The thing is that, okay, this is one of the reasons why I didn't want people from Uruguay to be able to listen to this, but I have no problems to say it because I have recordings and other elements. This person was a friend of the husband of the judge, and he asked as a favor for the husband of the judge to give me that time out of prison so I could work for him and hack a bank. So basically, the judge was authorized those 3 days a week outside the prison because he was asked by her husband, and her husband because of this guy. So corruption. Man, so, but fuck the judge. I mean, imagine in my position, what do I do? The judge is deciding this, and if I don't do what this person wants, this judge can keep me here behind cells for years. I don't know. Imagine the dilemma that I had. What do I do? I mean, if I do what I should do, I it was horrible for me. It was a situation that I didn't know what to do because so much power in this situation that was controlling everything. The judge was giving me all that time to hack a bank for this person.
Oh my God, that is insane! Holy shit!
Okay, this is the first time that I mentioned this. I have all the evidence about this, and this has, I mean, after many some weeks in the prison, I talk about the situation with this person, and they elevated the case to the general prosecutor and to protect myself, to protect themselves, because imagine what if this bank was actually hacked, not by me but by somebody else. They will come to me. I mean, so, okay, this I have never told. I am telling this right now for the first time, and it's something that is very gross and corruption at its maximum, corruption at its top. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, and then I said, Alberto, welcome to the real world of corruption.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I know you're speechless, I know.
It's scary because when you're in a position like that, you don't feel like you have any friends. And I'm sure if you perhaps lit. I know we have corruption in this country, no doubt about that, but I can't help but feel like if you lived in the U.S. that you wouldn't see stuff like that. You wouldn't see the criminal underworld having control over the judicial system. That is just so, God, that's so scary.
Yeah. And for me, it was really a situation where I didn't know what to do because anything I do, I mean, I didn't want to hack anything. I told him that I wasn't going to hack any bank, anything. But on the other hand, okay, if I don't help this person, not only that, is that this person also needed the money from the bank because he had serious financial problems and he asked money from, how do you say when you ask money from people, not from a bank, and they outside the system, and then they go and break your legs first,
loan
and
shark.
Then they go. Yeah, that's right. And so the guy told me, I own $200,000 from these people, and I have to pay them in two weeks. Otherwise, I don't know what they will do to me. And I said, oh my God. And then they will come to me also. This is crazy.
Now, your girlfriend went through hell because of all this. And it all started when you were originally arrested. Did you want to talk a little bit about what she had to go through?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that I really will not ever forget and forgive about them, is the way that they treat her without, okay. She got arrested without any reason. She was interrogated in a very, very, psychologically, they destroyed her. I mean, they were using techniques that were normally used to break serial killers or drug dealers or people that have a profile that is very complicated and related to a criminal life. But they were using those tools for who was a girl that had a problem in her life, that she had a beautiful heart. She's a beautiful person, and they told her things such as, okay, Alberto has just confessed, and you know what? Alberto said that you were the master brain behind all this. And then they told her, okay, we are going to call your shop, your company, and you are going to lose your job. And that, but that was also meaningless. I have yet to understand why they did that to her. I mean, if they did that to me, okay, I was the person that was arrested, that was supposed to be the person that committed a crime, okay, but she, it's like, I think that when you arrest somebody, you should make a profile of the person that you are arresting and know who you are in front of. I mean, if you are in front of somebody who is putting drugs all over the world, or is somebody who the only thing that does is to plant, flowers in spring. They really destroyed her. And after more than a year of this experience, she told me that she was having nightmares, and she was dreaming that she was waking up suddenly in the middle of the night, thinking that the Interpol was in the door and they were coming to her, And well, the anxiety problems that she had were huge. And well, for the first time in her life, she started taking medication for anxiety. But then she made a very smart decision, and she started focusing on sports and running, and well, just put her mind. I mean, sports, play sports, and well, focus on that, and put her energies on those kind of things. Okay, I think that was very smart from her. And in my case, this year, at the middle of this year, I was starting feeling very bad, very bad. I was feeling like I have never felt so bad in my life before. Well, and I could spend a week in my bed without getting out. I said to myself, okay, I need help. I mean, I cannot keep living like this, and I cannot solve this by myself. So I started going to therapy, and they diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder. So I am not being treated by that. I mean, imagine all the consequences of this that were caused because of the way the police act. I mean, completely useless. I mean, it's a situation that is crazy. And the list of things that happened is much, much longer. But right now, I'm just trying to focus on the new opportunities, because I cannot change the past. I just have to learn from it, and well, try to do what I can to overcome.
Yeah, you know, Alberto, to me, this is probably the saddest part of the story, because not only are you being completely railroaded, blackballed, and to me, it looks like you have a conspiracy going on around you. I mean, I know that for sure, but your innocent girlfriend, who did nothing except love you, she did nothing, and they went after her, and that just shows to me that they are not good people, and they had a bad intent, and they're sloppy, and they don't know what they're doing. They're either really stupid or really evil, one of the two.
I completely agree with you. I will tell you, they returned me mostly all of the things that they faced, but they had like 9 Ledger wallets, which are hardware cryptocurrency wallets to store bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies. And when they were going to give them back to me, actually only one of them I had stored cryptocurrencies, they gave me the box, and I opened it, and the box was empty. The cryptocurrency wallet was not there.
And they said, weirdness.
And they told me, "Oh, but we took the empty box from your house." And I said, "Come on, man! Don't tell me that you take empty boxes from the houses of people. Don't lie to me. Come on." And then this is another thing that, we are feeling charges against these people. The thing is that in the file, these guys have 40 pages with a manual with all the documentation regarding this cryptocurrency wallet that was not in the box. Well, they have printed that, added that to the file of the case. And why did you do that if you didn't have the wallet?
Again, it just sounds like somebody's trying to cover their tracks.
Yes, for me, the most clear, what made everything clear was the what the director of security said to the judge. what he said for me was the worst act of betrayal. And he could never have answered that. I mean, he has all the tools to verify everything. No, that he didn't remember that I reported the security problems in the past is not an answer. I cannot accept that. I mean,
you just don't forget that, because when that happens, a cold chill goes down your spine because you feel vulnerable and you never forget that. It's impossible that he would have forgotten that. It makes no sense. He's lying.
It's absolutely. He's lying. He's lying. And I wasn't. And I only realized that when I got the file and I read that, and I was shocked when I read that. But it's so unfair that, I mean, I didn't know that he said that in 2.5 years ago when I was sent to prison. I mean, if I had knew that, I would have asked to present the evidence of the emails that I have sent in order to say, oh, come on, here I have the emails, the tracking numbers, so you can verify everything. I mean, I'm not lying. But with the words of the director of security saying, I don't remember, it's like, okay, that was, he pushed me to the prison.
And if you were a bad guy and you were trying to blackmail people, you would go target a server you've never interacted with before. The idea that they think you'd be dumb enough to go in and then come back with this childish-looking email that doesn't even have the email for the Bitcoins to go to, it makes no sense.
Absolutely. The situation that is described here is something that makes no sense. I mean, it's impossible to think to do something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay, let's think that, okay, I want to make some money and but I won't do that with the system that I reported twice about serious problems. I would put an address to receive the Bitcoins. Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. And I didn't need anything of that. My life was perfect.
Well, the reason why I find your story so fascinating, it is because I do love a good mystery. And your story is full of so many different things to think about, to mentally chew on, to look at, that I don't see how this cannot be a movie someday. It has to be. Especially with the prison stuff. That is just, oh my God, that would be great for a movie.
Wow. That's something that the images of, oh my God. I can already see that in the movie. And they are awesome. I mean, it's an unbelievable situation, experience. Prison. Oh man, I can't believe I spent 8 months in prison.
Yeah, and you're not a criminal. You're not a hardened guy. You were, a guy that's into computers and stuff like that, and you got thrust into this world of people that are just, bad people, killers, and people that are just soulless and the worst types. And you made it out.
Yeah.
You made it out. That's good.
But one thing that is already proven is that, for example, if you don't have your values clear, your ethics are not, if you are not a person who has developed certain, you don't have clear certain things in your life, you go to an environment like that and you end up being a criminal. I mean, me, a computer guy, without having certain things clear, my values, my ethics, everything, I go there and I can, in a matter of 2 days, I can be talking and planning some things with another guy, because every day, people were coming to me asking me, "Hey Alberto, is there any kind of job we can do with computers, ATMs, or something like that?" I mean, every day they were coming to me because they wanted to be part of
Alberto. It's like you had the devil in the prison with you. That's what it's like. You had the devil trying to tempt you in there.
Yeah, but the thing is that the devil is too late. I mean, I have already. I know who I am. I know what I want. I know what I do and what I don't do. So I'm sorry for the devil, but I won't change no matter how pressure or the environment they put me in. That won't change the person that I am. I mean, I am somebody who is not a person who is going to commit a crime, no matter he's surrounded by 100 millions of criminals and well, so many temptations, no, of making a lot of money easily, and well, but it's not the life, it's not my life, it's not what I will ever do. That's me. But on the other hand, if you are much maybe younger, and well, you will probably become another criminal.
And that is a reality of the justice system anywhere, is when you go into the system, a lot of these guys, they don't, you made it out. Now you're fighting you're fighting to clear your name and show the world who you are. But very easily, you could have been deeper into the underworld. You could have taken a different path. And you're right. That happens to a lot of young guys. They go in the system, they come out 10 times worse than who they were before they got sent in there, because they get exposed to the animals, they get exposed to the killers, and they have people that try to take advantage of them and use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, one thing that has changed in me, my values they did not change, my ethics did not change, but the way I behave, I became much more. I mean, in my life now, I behave in a way that, okay, I shared the less information that I, as few information as I can. I don't want to, I mean, before, if I found a problem, my main concern was to solve the problem, because that problem would probably be involving a lot of people, for example, in a medical provider. Why did I report those problems? Because hundreds of thousands of people would eventually be damaged if somebody bad exploit those problems. Well, now I find security problems. Okay. I have to think about myself. That's sad, but okay, I just keep the problems that I find to myself, and I'm not going after trying to solve those issues for the benefits of people that I don't know, but that thing that I was forced to change and be in this way, because otherwise I would end up in same trouble.
And Alberto, I do have a question that I wanted to play. Let's see if I can't get this pulled up properly.
Hi, Alberto. It's Nicole Eggert. And I first wanted to say how proud I am of you for continuing to fight after everything you've been through, and that I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of this in your life. And my question to you would be, where do you begin to improve and change such a complicated system when you're really only one guy fighting against such a large force, and apparently it does need to be changed, but it seems like such a tedious process. So I'm just curious as to how you begin and how you stay motivated.
I'm just a
Shigeru,
and everywhere I go.
Did you get all that?
No.
Could you even hear that at all?
No.
Oh my God, I thought you were hearing it. Hold on, let me adjust something real quick and give it another go. I apologize.
Okay.
Let's see here. I know the people out there could hear it, but I do have a little trick I can do.
Hi, Alberto. It's Nicole Eggert. And I first wanted to say how proud I am of you for continuing to fight after everything you've been through, and that I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of this in your life. And my question to you would be, where do you begin to improve and change such a complicated system?
Okay, I heard up to the part where she was proud of me.
Against such a large force, and apparently it does need to be changed, but it seems like such a tedious process. So I'm just curious as to how you begin and how you stay motivated to keep fighting.
Did you get it that time?
No, I heard only until the part where she said that she was proud of me, but hold on a second. Okay.
Well, you sent it to me, so play it back for yourself and then answer.
Man, come on. That's not supposed to be like this. Okay. Okay, hold on.
And then I'm so sorry that you. So it's, hi, Alberto. It's Nicole Eggert. And I first wanted to say how proud I am of you for continuing to fight after everything you've been through. And that I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of this in your life. And my question to you would be, where do you begin to improve and change such a complicated system? Really, only one guy fighting. Because such a large force, apparently it needs to be changed, but it seems like such a tedious process. So I'm curious as to how you begin and how you stay motivated to keep fighting.
Wow. Where did she come up with that question? That's a very difficult question. Oh, my God. Oh, no, the thing is that how do I do that? First of all, I refuse to believe that I am the first Alberto. I am sure that people are other people that live nightmares hell like me, but they were unable to share the experience with the world. They had to just keep that to themselves, and that should be so frustrating, so sad. I am so lucky that I could spread my story to the world, that I could let everybody in the world know my story. And, well, the system here, yeah, it's very complicated to change. But how do you change a system? First of all, you have to raise awareness that there is a problem. Because if you're not aware of a problem, then change will never happen because there is no problem. So that's one thing, that you have to raise awareness. My approach is to do it from outside to, I mean, the pressure from outside Uruguay, from everybody in the world that know my story, start putting pressure on Uruguay in order to trigger that change that will eventually improve a system that is obviously full of flaws. That's the strategy. Awareness and my story known of the world, and then the pressure of the world making me felt in the system. Let me, Daniel, tell you one more thing that, as short as I can. There is another guy in Argentina who is called Javier Esmaltone. He was raided at the end of last year. He was not sent to prison, but they really made him spend a very bad time. And what is that? This guy is against the electronic voting system that Argentina is going to implement because of the lack of warranties and many other issues. And this guy also exposes the problem that in Argentina the government has handle security. So as a way of punish him, what did they do? They do this to him. They go, they took all the things from his house, they took him to the police station for a day, handcuffed. They didn't return his equipment to work. And basically things that are in this part of the world, Argentina, Uruguay, we should work together in order to create that change. And how do we do that? Again, because if we spread our message, our story to the world will eventually cause the pressure to make the systems here change. That's what I think, and that's the strategy that I think is the only one that can work.
Alberto, since we last talked, is the case looking any better? Is it as bad as it has always been? Has any progress been made in getting a clear and not guilty verdict for yourself?
Well, things like the returning of all my equipment were a huge signal of kind of admitting that. It was a signal that, okay, this guy is not the person that we painted. So that was a big signal, and nobody in the Interpol believed that they would ever return any of those things to me. Well, they did. They did. I have an excellent lawyer, which did a great job, but that's a good signal. I will focus on now that I have the file and all the information about this stupidity. I will start arguing and exposing all the facts and, preparing a good defense, a good paper, in order to get eventually everything, the charges dropped, and this case should never have been begun. Yeah. I think I'm pretty positive about this. It's going to take time. It's been 2.5 years since I got arrested, and things are slow. But okay, I am positive. I am lucky to be able to have a good lawyer, to have the resources to be able to have the support of everybody in the world. In the InfoSec community, community, so I think that I'm doing my homework in order to get things clarified.
And I did keep you a little bit long this evening, but I do want, before we go, I do want to open things up for you one more time, Alberto, and go ahead and let you have the podium and let you say whatever you would like to say to my audience out there. And also feel free to go ahead, as per usual, follow that up with anything you would like to announce, talk about, or plug.
Okay. First of all, this videocast, not podcast, the end of the day's radio, which should be TV or something like that. It's, I love it because of truth. Truth is not what we read on the newspapers. Truth is not what it's shown on TV. Truth is what we smart people analyze, take all the elements from a story and, well, come to a conclusion based on many elements that are not only one, but things are very complex. And, well, and in my case, truth is complicated. But, I think I am in the direction of finding what the truth is. So this podcast is really wonderful regarding that. And I am very happy that you found my story amazing, that you think my story should be on a TV show or on a TV series. Now that Mr. Robot is over, maybe Mr. Alberto.
So many parallels between Mr. Robot and your story.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was talking to a journalist from Forbes, my friend Kate, so many things. For example, when Elliot goes to prison, and yeah, it's like crazy, and I keep watching it, and the more I watch it, the more things I found in common with the things that happened to me. But the thing is that Mr. Robot is, my life is much more interesting than Mr. Robot's story.
Because it's real.
Yeah, it's real. It's real, and it's a person like anybody, like anyone, who just from one day to another, without expecting anything, without having, I mean, from one day to another, he was found in a situation he never expected, he never thought he would live, and he had to survive and to get out of that situation and to get out of the worst moment of his life, the worst scenarios, something that he was not prepared for that. I mean, I was not prepared to be in prison, and from one day to another, I was with like 13 people in a cell, and the profile of those people were surely not like my profile. So I had to adapt myself to that to survive, and well, day by day, work on the mental element is a key. I mean, you have to be, if you are able to understand that the power of your mind, you can get anything in your life. And I think that was one of the things that I learned the most, and I just programmed my mind to survive, to do the things that I had to do in order to get out of there and for living. But it's all on your brain. And people, human beings, are able to adapt to the worst scenarios, worst situations, and be able to get out of there and survive and get great things in their lives when things are so adverse and everything seems to be against them. Well, people can always find a way of I don't know, to get energies out of I don't know where.
You had every reason in the world to give up, but you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the easiest thing would have been to throw the towel after a few days and commit suicide. Suicide rates in prison are 10 times higher than in the rest of the population. Why is that? It's obvious. It's something that happens very, very, very usually, and it's understandable. But okay, you have to be strong. Well, I really would like to eventually, despite of the outcome of this process and everything, to inspire other people, as many, many people from all over the world have told me that my story inspired them. Well, I want to, I was so, wow, so happy to hear about that. I mean, I could inspire people, one person, and then two people, three. Wow. Well, okay, if I'm able to inspire people with my story, okay, I will try to keep doing that and use my story as something that can help other people so they can cope with situations that I like. I doubt, because a situation like mine is unique, and the rights for the movie are sold, so it's unique. But situations hard in life, yeah, I want to inspire them and send them the message that if I could do it, you can do it also. Everybody can. We all can do it. You just want to, you just need to be, have the determination to do it. That's it.
I love that. And what do we have to plug? Darknet Diaries, what else?
Sorry?
Oh, we want to plug darknetdiaries.net.
Yeah, yeah. To hear my full story, you have to connect to darknetdiaries.com/episode/25, which is Alberto.
Excellent. And also,
yeah, here to have a 42 minutes podcast that was a great production of Jacques Resider. That, well, it's something that people loved. I loved, and it was the door that opened me the possibility to get my story known worldwide. Thanks to Jacques. Right now, I think it has been heard probably by 150,000 people. I really appreciate, and I really love Jacques for what he did for me. And well, I was surfing the net, and I found this. I don't know if it was his Twitter account, and his tagline or his bio said, "Okay, tell me a good hacker story." And I read that and I said, "What? This guy wants to hear a good hacker story? I will tell him a good hacker story." And I contacted him. I told him a good hacker story for sure.
And also, we want to make sure everybody can find you on social media so they can kind of keep track of you and your story. It's at A Daniel Hill on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. I really appreciate that, because in Twitter, I would like to share, which I would like to spread my message mostly in Twitter to keep people updated. So yes, please follow me at A Daniel Hill, which is A Daniel HILL. That's my Twitter account. Or if you go to albertohill.com, then you will have the link to my Twitter, my Instagram, my LinkedIn, and all my social media accounts. But I use Twitter the most, so please follow me on Twitter in order to keep updated on my case and everything that's going on. But many things are going to happen soon, and well, good things I expect, and positive.
And hopefully we get a good verdict on the case, and we have you on here a third time to celebrate.
Yeah, I will be here for a third time. No wonder, that's for sure.
Heck yeah. All right, Alberto, I appreciate you coming on again. I appreciate your support of everything I'm doing, and I will continue to support you. Thank you once again. I had a great time. You have a good night, my friend.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your help and everything. Thank you, my friend.
Good night. Okay, and that was Alberto Daniel Hill. Very fun interview. And we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break. I'm just going to check on the chat, make sure everybody is doing all right in there. Okay, excellent. And I'm going to go ahead and go to break because we do need to take a break every so often. I got to use the potty, so bear with me while I find some music to play. Sometimes it takes me a second because I forget where I put it, but I know it's in here somewhere. Let's see here. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Looking for where I put our Buddy Al's music. I know I put it in a folder somewhere. I actually meant to play some stuff by Todd, but I freaking forgot it again. Sorry, buddy. Just forgot it again. Left it on my other computer. I didn't transfer it in time. But we do have plenty of music to play. If I can just freaking find it. Ah! What the hell? What's wrong with you, Daniel? What's wrong with you? All these folders are full of nothing. You know what? I have some of my crappy music to play. Why don't we just start off with that? Thank you. And welcome back to the End of Days. End of Days Radio. End of Days Radio. End of Days Radio. This is Daniel. This is Daniel with End of Days Radio. So, during the break, you heard a few songs. The first one was called Sleeping Beauty by me, Daniel. It's actually labeled Sleep Dark Beauty, whatever that means, whatever was going through my head at the time. The second one was called Ascent of Heather. That's by Al. Check him out at... Oh, shit, I want to plug his YouTube channel, but I don't know exactly what it's called at the moment. But that's from our buddy Al, who calls in sometimes. We're looking to interview him, possibly. He's launching a new YouTube channel. You can check that out. And then the second one we played by Al was Gojira. Gojira, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Gojira? I'm Japanese, I can't even pronounce that. That's pathetic. But we always love great music here on End of Days Radio, so I'm a music fan. I know a lot of you guys out there are music fans. I know a lot of you out there like Michael Jackson and Lady Gaga, and for those of you that don't like pop music, I know you like Led Zeppelin and Nirvana. Maybe a little U2, or maybe not. But I did want to remind everybody that you can call into the program at 209-348-9810. It's been a while since I threw that number out there. I do apologize. Or at ninjashoes777 on Skype. Also, go to endofdaysradio.com where you can get an updated schedule of who's coming on End of Days Radio. You can also donate to the show if you want. There's also other info on there, a little bit about me. If you want to contact me, remember you can always email me at danielendofdaysradio@gmail.com. Really simple, danielendofdaysradio@gmail.com if you have anything for me. Anything for me. If you have a guest to suggest or you want to be a guest. Or you just want to talk to me because you like me. Because you like me. You want to get to know me better. Which is understandable. Just, you know, don't stalk me. That's no fun for me. Maybe for you, but not for me. I have had stalkers, believe it or not. I mean, I'm not exactly Brad Pitt, but I have been stalked before. It's scary. Because you know the person doing it is just disconnected with reality. And you don't know what they're going to do. I do have some stuff I want to talk about. As you know, we're launching missiles and stuff at Iran. We're mad at them. Some of us knew this was going to happen. We knew about it. We knew about it since they've been having problems with Israel. It seems like any country that surrounds Israel that has problems with Israel, we end up attacking like 6 months later. Just enough time for... The hype to kind of die down so that we can go in there and, you know, punish the country that's doing the things we don't want them to do. Launch some missiles at them and then come up with some foo-foo bullshit reason why we went in there. Oh, we were trying to help them. We were trying to save them. You see, there was this evil general that was killing his own people and killing Americans. So we had to get in there. And get in there. Do some good in the world. But, you know, besides all that, we know every president is... a puppet to these foreign councils, this Illuminati network. We know this, right? The corporations, the big banks, blah, blah, blah. We know our presidents are puppets, whether it's Trump or Obama or Bush or Clinton or Hillary or whoever. They're all puppets. There's no, you know, good guys and bad guys when it comes to the presidency. But this is going to get me a lot of heat, but I don't think Trump is doing a bad job. This stuff about Iran, it doesn't matter who's president. They would have to do that anyway. And he seems to be doing good with the economy. I mean, I went on... I was checking out some local Seattle stuff. All the people up here, they're extreme Democrats. And they have all these different excuses why the economy's working well. Why things are better nowadays. Like, it just would have been good anyways is usually the biggest one. Or somehow, even though the economy and the market are doing good, the fact that we don't jack up every minimum wage all throughout the country to like $20 is bothering them. According to them, that means that the president is bad and he's doing a bad job with the economy because the minimum wage everywhere isn't getting jacked up. And the way that we solve our money problems is to become socialists and give out free money. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, hey, I'm not a conservative or Republican or anything like that. But even I know that if you want to raise a minimum wage, that money has to come from somewhere. It's not magical. Some of these freaking Seattle area liberals, they seem to think that you can magically create money out of thin air. Like, that's sort of the socialist. That's their thing. Like, you can wave a magic wand and you're going to make money for everybody, and then they're going to spend more money. Never mind the fact that to spend the money, you have to have a product that people actually want to buy. And if they don't want to buy the product, then why should they get more money, right? It's the whole idea is competition. That's how capitalism and how our economy and everything works. Some of these people are just strange. I don't get it. They want to be shushed. They blame the old rich white man on all of their problems. And somehow, if we become socialists, that all those problems are going to go away. And we're magically going to be happy because everybody's going to be more equal. Never mind the fact that we will have no sort of industry or anything like that, and everybody will just end up being poor as long as we can print money. We're already doing that. But enough of that. In other news, Meghan and Prince Harry are defecting. They're saying, fuck this shit. It's boring. We want to do something else. We want to go and star in movies, and we want to be involved in things that are actually fun and not boring, like having to go to public things that the royals have to do.
What's going on, Daniel?
Hey there, buddy.
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm doing all right. You know, it's winter.
Just all right.
Well, it's winter.
That was your entrance music, Todd.
Doing all right. Not feeling too good myself.
Doing all right. Yeah. Doing all right.
Oh,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah. Doing all right. Yeah.
Doing all. I'm feeling all right.
Ooh, you hit that one good.
I'm not feeling too good now, still. Oh, yeah.
It's the end of days. Gonna do it over again. The end of days.
What's his name did that song, Feeling All Right, Fantastic. What was that singer?
I don't know. I'd have to look that one up. But
big chubby guy from the 70s. Like, huge dude sweating.
Did you see that
back in the 70s?
Did you see that picture of Bono?
Recent one?
Yeah, the one where he's like, oh man, if I could find it on the internet. It looks like they're hiding it.
I try not to look at pictures of Bono. I'm not a big Bono fan.
Well, there's a picture of him. I'll just describe it because I'm sure they've scrubbed the internet for this picture, but I guess he's partying on Epstein Island, and he has these two young girls in bikinis on his lap. Like, they look like they're about 14 years old, and they're sitting on his freaking lap like he's Santa Claus.
Wow. Now, please send me that picture, yeah.
And he was on the flight list for Epstein Island, one of their flight lists that, I don't know if it's real or not.
Bono was? Wow. Bono too, huh?
Well, you remember there was this thing where all the iPhones, they had a U2 album forced on their phones, and the album art was two men kissing.
I think I remember that. Yeah, and it came to everyone's phone without permission.
Yeah, without permission. It was just forced
free album.
Yeah, free album.
I remember they made it sound like, look what we just gave you.
We gave you something free and awesome. You should thank us. No, you took up space on my phone for something that I don't want. I don't like you two. You two can fucking blow me.
I remember that. It tripped me out. I played that song about two or three times and went, well, this is weird, man.
U2 is like the evil Black Sabbath. If Black Sabbath had an evil clone that was trying to just destroy everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Bono supposedly did all that Live Aid stuff, and then, or you know, tries to help the Africans, but keeps
well.
Most
Black
of the
Sabbath had Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, and you too had Sunday
money.
Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, a little different. When you two put out their record, that was with that was when Ireland and England were still going at it.
Yeah, that actually refers to an actual, I should correct myself, that refers to an actual bombing.
Yeah, and the struggle between Ireland and England and
the IRA, the original group. IRA, the Irish Republican
yep.
Army, which was crazy.
Yep.
I mean, that whole thing, when do we ever hear about that in the media or in movies or anything? I saw like one movie about it, but other than that, that whole IRA thing, you don't really, you know, no one talks about it.
Well, you know, and then around that time, Sinead O'Connor, remember she got on MTV because she was huge and she ripped a picture of the Pope?
No,
you
that's...
remember that?
Vaguely, something like that.
She was playing live because Saturday Night Live was live. And at the end of her number one song, she pulled out a picture of the Pope and ripped it in half. Her career was over after that.
We got to get you a webcam, Todd.
Yeah, yeah. Al's got one going over there now.
Then we could really get you on the show here. Get you some real presence.
Get us some what?
Get you some real presence. You know what they say, video killed the radio star.
My voice isn't enough, huh?
No. Is my voice just enough, or do you want to see video too?
Video, yep, that's the wave of the future, Daniel. That's the wave of the future, buddy.
Exactly. Why should we be limited to audio when you can see my boring image just running my lips, and I don't think it adds
gets
much.
The people going.
Watch me pick my nose and, yeah, totally. Fantasize about me.
Gets the people going, yeah.
But hey, this thing about the British royals, they are unhappy because Meghan and Harry want to go off on their own. They don't want to play ball anymore.
Yeah, and then Prince Andrew's been defrocked. They've taken all of his royal badges off him, and England stopped paying Prince Andrew a stipend that he got every month, or the Queen or something was giving him a couple $100,000 a month. They took that away.
I love this because I fucking hate the royals. Oh, man. I hate that shit. Why does our media report on a monarchy in another country that has nothing to do with us? They don't even do anything. Why do we have to always hear about their fucking asses?
I look over at England and go, why does England love these people?
They don't.
Sit on top of their country, don't do anything for them, really, but they just live in giant castles and England just sits there and goes, they're the royals. You're like, huh?
They're the royals. We love the royals. Oh my God, they're so princely.
Yeah.
Take pictures.
Look at what they're doing now.
It's like the old ancient times when they thought that the rulers were gods on the earth. It's the same shit. They're not gods. They're people.
Yeah, they bring the pharaoh down the street with thousands of people while guys are carrying him up on a golden
exactly
platform.
What does that say? What does that say? We're not equal. This person deserves to get tax money for sitting on their butt and just having a title. They get money and they get to live for free.
Someone's feeding them grapes and fanning them all day long. They don't even have to put their own clothes on or brush their teeth.
I like Princess
Di. Incredible.
I like Princess Di. I thought she was a hero. I mean, she had all the ability to just be a piece of shit if she wanted to, but instead she used her stature to actually do something, which she did not have to do, and she got killed for it. I mean, respect. She put herself through hell for no reason.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff behind that Princess Di story,
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, they killed her. It's pretty obvious. They killed her using the same assassination tactics they used to kill all the rest of us. They run you off the road, or they give you cancer, or they fuck with your heart, or they make it look like a suicide. Brr, 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 brr.
come in and say you hacked a computer system when you were the security guy supposed to protect the security system?
Yeah, what's up with that? I mean, look at that bullshit. Look what they did to this
Alberto.
Man. Poor Alberto. Poor Alberto. He's the nicest freaking guy. You see him on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is crazy. Why?
I hope Alberto wins his case and gets to the bottom of that story down there, yeah.
Yeah, me too. He's a really good guy, and that's why I like having him on here, because his story really is incredible, and you can tell that the people investigating the case and the people surrounding it just don't even know how to interpret it or explain it or anything like that. And I can actually kind of, like, I'm kind of computer savvy, and I can kind of lay it out. I feel like I should be his lawyer.
Yeah, you should be telling him what to tell his lawyer.
I should be in the courtroom.
You should be like a translator.
I'll be like, hold up, Daniel's coming in. He's got his suitcase. You guys are fucked. He's going to make an argument. He's smarter than your whole country.
You whisper into his lawyer's ear, and then his lawyer talks. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll be a special advisor. Who's this guy? He's a freaking jackass stoner from a podcast. He's from Seattle.
No, you're bringing attention to Alberto's story. Did you hear when you played the question for Alberto that was asked of him? What's he gonna do? You know.
Oh yeah, that went well.
But it was like he gave the right answer. You know, he's a very positive person.
But hey, Todd, I got some other stuff I need to talk to you about. Got some other stuff here. So, as you know, there is a huge wave of people infesting Europe. They are just coming in like nobody's business. And Germany and France and, you know, I don't know all the little details. I don't pretend to. I don't know what's going on in every little country, but they seem to just be allowing
the Great Migration.
The Great Migration. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. It's crazy. It's being completely covered up by our media, and this is the alternative media, so we should probably talk about it at least a little bit.
Yeah, try to cover whatever we can, huh?
Yeah, I mean, these people are being displaced. Many of them are being displaced by our wars, by our bombs, by our drones.
Yeah.
And they're being pushed into these European countries. And some of these Europeans are starting to think that we're doing it on purpose to destabilize them, or that we have some kind of agenda. But that's not really it. It's a globalization agenda. It's not me or you. It's these people that own the banks and the corporations. They want to tear down borders, and they want to have one currency, and they want to do something in Israel where they want to get everybody killing each other. So hence we get this situation where countries are being invaded, cultures are being stamped upon, and nobody's sticking up for the, you know, the people in Europe. It's not a racial thing, of course not. It's these countries are being invaded by criminals that are hurting them. They're raping the women, they're throwing bricks through store windows, they're taking over, and they're pushing their own laws on the people that already live there. I mean, it's not a racial issue, of course not. It's an issue of people being invaded and not being able to do anything about it.
You know, over in those countries, Daniel, like Germany, England, I don't know, a number of other ones over there, your show wouldn't even be allowed to exist.
Oh, I'd be dead,
you know,
by now.
You couldn't say the stuff that you say on your show over there.
My head would be sticking on a spear.
Yeah. So do you want to live under a European Union, United Nations, one world government, global elite agenda? I don't.
But
I mean, we all live under it, but Europe, there, you know, the European Union, that's probably where the head of the octopus is over there, of the Illuminati giant world conspiracy octopus, is probably over there in Europe somewhere, hiding in a catacomb.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, if we really had to pick a place, it probably would be over there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they even have a true home.
Because they can hide over there. They can hide over there.
Well, they own islands, like Epstein Island. They own their own islands, and they have their own cities there.
They own
Yeah,
they own countries, castles, people bow down and watch him as they're going down the street, the royalty over there.
Exactly. So
yeah, that's a whole different.
So these people have an agenda, and now we have Trump, who his whole thing is he's saying that he's protecting us, he's keeping the borders closed, he's not letting these waves of people come in. But eventually, I mean, I know Trump's going to get elected again. When we have a Democrat, all the borders are going to open up. We're going to invite them in. That's going to be a thing, like the local government did here in Seattle, where we became a sanctuary city. A sanctuary city. Once we have a Democrat in the president's office, he's going to open it up. They're coming here. The wave is coming here.
Salt Lake's a sanctuary city too. Salt Lake City.
That's not going to be Salt Lake anymore. That's going to be a different type of lake. It's going to be shit lake, because you're going to have that many immigrants and refugees shitting in the lake. It's not going to be Salt Lake City. It's going to be Shit Lake City.
Yeah. Maybe.
They're coming.
They're coming. Help yourself.
They're already trying to do it. What they're doing is they're manipulating us. They're creating tension, right? They're creating tension, and they're painting a picture like these people at the border are getting abused. Yep. And that way, they're going to build up all this psychological momentum. So we get our democratic socialists in office the next time around, and we start demanding they let the immigrants in. It's problem, reaction, solution. They're coming.
Yeah, so what they do over in the Middle East is we've been blowing, or over in Europe is we've been blowing the Middle East up for 30, 40 years straight. Like, we've dropped bombs every day for 40 years straight over there.
Yes.
And so all those people are running up into Europe, and then they have travel routes. They're all tracked.
Yep.
This isn't just people meandering. They follow roads. They know millions of them are going that direction. So then they flood Europe, like you said, start to destabilize their countries. But that's what's going on over in Europe. And then the thing that would allow is anybody could come in there now.
Yes.
That gives them an open route to bring whatever, drugs, sex trafficking, terrorists could just flow into those countries and establish whatever. That's over in Europe. In the United States, we destabilize South America. Notice, and Central America. Notice how they never quite can solve their problems down there, Daniel.
Yeah, that's because, like you said, our CIA goes down there and destabilizes the region. We manipulate them. Mm-hmm. We take this warlord side or that warlord side.
Yeah, we put in dictators that love torture and drugs and...
Yeah, it's all manipulation. It's manipulation.
We put in the worst people you can imagine, and then their people are just under constant attack and terror and oppression. So they're all moving north over here, caused, by the destabilization of their countries. And then our governmental systems get watered down here because they have programs in the United States where they pay masses of organizations to bring these people in. I mean, once they're over the border, bust them in. I don't think there's another country on earth, Daniel, that offers, if you can get to our soil, you can have benefits coming out of your rear end. I don't think any other country on earth gives you, if you could just come to our country, you'll have a full ride for the rest of your life. Nobody does that except us.
Yeah,
our government
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. I mean, it's
we'll give you college. We'll give you medical.
Yeah.
Americans can't even get heart surgery, but we're going to give this illegal alien that just got here freaking a heart surgery.
Well, in Europe, it's worse. If you go over to Germany, it's even worse, Todd. If you go over to Germany, you don't even have to do all that because you can go straight from wherever you're coming from right into an actual Muslim community that's already set up. In fact, now
they've set up.
I saw a news story. A girl, she was getting bullied for not wearing what do they call those?
Hijab.
Am I saying that right? Hijab. So she was not wearing a hijab. And the other students were bullying.
She wasn't covering her face, yeah.
Yeah, and then the parents, they complained to the principal. This is Germany. And he says, maybe she should wear a hijab.
Yeah, and she won't be picked on.
Yeah, I mean, okay. You want to talk about racism? This is racism. It's reverse racism. It means if you are not Muslim and you don't obey Sharia law, they're going to start chopping your head off and whipping you and kicking your ass and throwing bricks at your head, et cetera, because that's one of the tenets of that religion is to, I'm not talking about all Muslims, I'm talking about the like extremists. And a lot of these people that come into the European countries are extremists. They're going around in rape gangs and they're actually raping European women and nobody's helping them. The police aren't helping. The neighbors aren't helping. You know, these people don't know how to fight back. They don't know what to do. Just go look on social media. Go look at what's going on in Europe, what's going on in Germany, France, Sweden. Look at what's happening. Women are being raped. And the fucking Democrats, they think that they can just open up the borders and that's not going to happen here. Of course it's going to happen here. That's what the NWO wants. That's what the Illuminati wants. They want to destabilize every culture because they want one world government. One world government, one currency. They want a borderless, open society of drones who obey.
Yeah. Believe me, we could put a fence up that nobody would get through if they wanted it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
We spent $780 billion this year. Trump just passed a new military budget for the military, $780 billion. That's a quarter off of a trillion. Our whole economy is $2 trillion plus or something, supposedly, everything we make.
We're just printing money.
Believe me, they can.
We're printing money for more weapons and more bombs and more crap and more fake nuclear weapons and more invisible cloaks and more jets.
But you know, Daniel, a couple of guys are making some money, so it's all good.
Oh, yeah, as long as the Bush family can make their money and some Saudis can make their money. Fuck the rest of us. I'll just keep eating shit.
Yeah.
I'll just keep shoveling shit and eating shit because that's what I do because I'm just
exactly.
a proletarian. I'm just a proletolite who doesn't fucking matter. I'm just a fucking piece of shit.
Totally.
I'm just a fucking drone. I'm just a poor fucking good for nothing fucking piece of white trash that does not matter in the grand scheme of things. I'm just a fucking cattle. I'm a fucking cow.
You're a number.
I'm a number. And it's not even a good number.
You know what your number is?
666.
It could be.
No, I'm not even that cool. I'm not even that cool. I'm 555.
Yeah.
What? 5 doesn't mean anything. The most boring number of all. That's what we are.
Right.
We all have a social security number. We're just fucking numbers. We're just more money for them. We're fucking slaves for them. We're only born.
Did you ever?
We're only born so they can stand on our shoulders.
Did you ever hear that Bob Seger song? I'm just a number. I feel like a number.
Sounds, I'm pretty sure I've heard it. Not specifically, but.
Oh, it was so cool. Back in like 19.
On the road again. Here I am. Turn the page.
No, it was Bob Seger. Yeah, turn the page. A few records before that he did I'm Just a Number. That was really cool.
Here I am. Back on the road again. Here I am, back on the stage. Here I am, on the road again.
Well, you got a beautiful voice.
Blah, blah, blah. Turn
the page. I go.
Here
turn
I go.
Turn the page.
Here I go. You know Metallica covered that song.
Turn the page.
The original's so
here
much better.
I go.
But hey, Todd, have you heard this new song by Future? It's called Black Jew.
I heard that. I heard that recently, yeah.
Yeah, Future. So he's actually the guy that was dating Ciara, who's now dating our quarterback, Russell Wilson, or she's married to him. Totally
the Seattle
irrelevant.
Quarterback?
Yes, the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the best quarterback in the league.
Utah doesn't have a football team. The only state in the United States that doesn't have a football team. Yeah.
Well, you know, when our teams suck, we might as well not have one. So, I only watch the Seahawks because they're good. I mean, I'll tell you right now.
No, I'm just teasing.
There was plenty of time back in the 90s. You wouldn't hear me even mention the word Seahawks. So it was
we
a
got
shame.
We got University of Utah and we got BYU. So we do have
there
some teams.
Go.
So.
There you go.
Yeah.
But
but anyways, back to the future.
Yeah, so
the band.
So he wrote this song called Black Jew. More and more I see more people, they're starting to wake up and realize that the Hebrews were black.
Well, do you know for sure that all the Hebrews were black? Couldn't some of them have been like olive skinned?
No, they were not all black. There's 12 tribes.
Okay then.
Yeah. So you would have to look at a genealogy and look at the tree, the lineage tree, and then you could figure out who is dark and who is darker. But they were all dark. They weren't white like the picture of Jesus you see in the Catholic Church. That is definitely bullshit.
Oh, the Catholic Church Jesus is not half as white as the Mormon Jesus that has blonde hair.
Yeah, see, that is...
The Mormon Jesus looks like Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
The word is nowadays that that's actually the Antichrist, the blonde Jesus. That is an image that is being implanted into our minds. It's mind control. So that when the Antichrist comes, we'll think that he's the real Messiah. But he's not going to be. He's going to be, you know, we'll think it's him because he looks like the guy. But the real Jesus is black. And that's one of the ways when we're going to know when the real Messiah is here.
That's how we'll know his arrival is he'll be black.
Well, I'll know. I mean, I can't speak for the ignorant masses out there. They're probably going to follow they're going to follow the Antichrist to their own spiritual death. But if you're in the know, you're going to watch this stuff play out. You're going to watch it play out. And you're going to know what's going on. Just like I've known what's going on since 9/11 started. And I've always said the whole time, this is the end of days. This is the time of revelations. It's the beginning of the tribulation. All you have to do is look at the world stage, the world map, look at what's going on in Israel. Bada boom, bada bing.
Study your Bible.
Read
it like five times.
Study any prophecies. Study the Hopi prophecies. Study the prophecies from any religion. Any belief system, they all have an end of days. Ragnarok. Yeah. This isn't just one culture. It isn't just one belief system. This is the real end, the end of all, the end of time.
Yeah, all cultures have their you know, end of days, apocalyptic scenarios. But then they say every century has like mass fits of apocalyptic mania where everybody, it's coming.
Difference is, Todd, difference is back then we had time left because we still had the fish in the water. We still had the buffalo on the land. We still had room for people to move into. We still had a Middle East that was not quite as crazy as it is now. The pieces are being moved into place. And if you want to talk about the end of day, just look at all the species disappearing. I mean, come on.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm sickened by what not man, but the people that run the planet have done to our planet.
Look at Australia, because some dumbass people were being sloppy with their campfires. Now half a billion animals are dead because of humans.
Campfires. Haven't you heard they've caught like a couple hundred people almost that were setting fires purposely?
And I hope that those people rot in jail and rot in prison and rot in hell, because you'd have to be human
slime.
They've
arrested about 180 people. I read a story.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
Fires.
That fucking pisses me off. Like, what kind of piece of shit, soulless, fucking spiritless, biological robot, sadistic fucking monster would you have to be to do something like that?
I hear you, dude. I hear you. That is atrocious.
I mean, I can be an asshole, but you know what? Not that kind of asshole.
Over a billion animals maybe have lost their lives.
My type of asshole is I hurt somebody's feelings. I don't fucking hurt anybody for real.
I hear you, and I try not to even hurt people's feelings.
Does that happen myself, a lot? Does that happen a lot, Todd?
Do I hurt people's feelings?
Yeah.
I try not to hurt them.
But you do, even though you try not to.
It might happen.
Because
most
that's
of the time,
life.
I'm very cordial, yeah.
That's life. We cannot, no matter how good of people we are, no matter how nice we are, we cannot help but hurt people. That's reality.
Now, Alberto said it pretty, you know, gracefully as he could, where you have to have ethics, you have to have morals, and you don't need the Bible to have ethics or morals. You don't have to be a born-again Christian to be a good person. You'll develop ethics. Ethics can be developed without a book that was written 2,000 years ago. Believe me, there's a lot of people on earth that never read that book.
Well, I don't think ethics. You need a Bible to have ethics.
I'm not talking to you.
Well, yeah,
about
yeah, I know, but
Dan,
I'm going to make a point, though. I know. I'm going to make a point. The reason why you don't need a book to have ethics is because by having bad ethics, that has consequences. It's eventually going to come back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You don't have to have a religious system or a belief system to go along with it. All you have to do is merely acknowledge the fact that your actions have consequences. It's going to ripple out. It's going to affect people, and it's going to come back to you because we all live in the same shitty dump of a world.
Yeah, you live and learn. Live and you learn.
But Todd, it's time for the mind-blowing.
Oh, cool.
Mind-blowing. You're blowing my mind.
Oh, it's the mind-blowing moment of the day. We're blowing our minds, yeah, they're blowing it away.
Blowing Todd's mind all damn day.
Blowing my mind, too.
Blowing his mind. Blowing his mind.
Blowing his mind.
Spiking his drink with LSD.
Why?
Spiking his drink with GHB. Spiking his
Not
drink
Utah.
With every date rape drug that we can find, including truth serum.
Maybe some caffeine, yeah.
Some caffeine to wake him back up. Okay, anyways. Disgusting songs aside. So today's mind-blowing moment of the day is when we found out that Scott Baio is a huge fucking douche. Yay!
Wow!
Yay!
That tripped me out, dude. That tripped me out.
Scott Baio, and here fuck we, you!
Here we all thought he was cool. No, he's a douchebag.
Douche! You're a douche!
Stalking Alberto's girlfriend.
Yeah,
or
fucking
girl that's a friend.
Pervert stalker. You immature piece of shit, you 80s fucking clown, you fucking 80s reject. Go back to the fucking 80s because nobody likes you in 2019, you fuck.
I never watched Charles in Charge. I hated that
go,
show. To
go
tell
fucking
you the
blow
truth.
Tony Danza.
Yeah, exactly.
Go fucking blow Kirk Cameron and Tony Danza.
Get
you.
Lost. You came in at the end of Happy Days. It was cool before you got there, and it stuck after you.
Nice one. I forgot all about that.
You were the downfall of Happy Days, Scott Baio. Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, fuck Scott Baio. He destroyed Happy Days. That was a great show.
It did. It got sucky after that. We didn't give a shit about him. We were watching Ralph and the other guys.
All I know is you don't mess with the Fonz. He'll fucking work you over. That guy's a badass. You do not fuck with the Fonz.
I love how the Fonz would come in and tap the fucking jukebox and it would just start playing the song he wanted.
I always liked how all these, like, I liked how the big guys that would be, like, messing with Richie, like, the Fonz would come up and they'd be like, oh my God, the Fonz, don't hurt me, man. Guys that were, like, three times his size.
I love that part. there was, like, the jocks had their gang.
Yeah.
That were like the good looking, preppy jock, blonde haired guys. They called themselves the Devils or something.
Yeah.
And then Fonzie had his motorcycle gang that already graduated from high school. How ridiculous.
Yeah, and then there was Arnold.
There was
Arnold that was actually Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, Mr. Arnold or Arnold's Drive-In.
Yeah, he got his got bought start by on that
Mr. Miyagi. It started out an old Italian guy, and then it turned into Mr. Miyagi.
Well, Ron Howard. Remember? Ron Howard certainly turned into a big fucking, what is he, a director? I mean, his movies are huge. He's one of the biggest directors.
Yeah. Those movies bore me to tears. I won't be at one. So, hey, but before I let you go, because you've done the mind-blowing moment of the day, I had a couple things to bring up. David Lee Roth has a permanent residence now in Las Vegas. Did you see the video?
I don't know why anybody would want to live there, but good for him, I guess.
He's going to live there all expense paid free and play every Saturday night till he dies, like Elvis.
Oh, that's very
so
retro.
He put on his first show 2 nights ago.
Really?
I sent you the video.
Oh.
It was a total train wreck. A total train wreck.
Yeah. But,
it was so bad, Daniel, it was good. So anyone listening, I recommend you go look at David Lee Roth's opening performance of his thing. I think it's the Hard Rock Cafe or some casino that now is going to have him every Sunday night. If you want to see David Lee Roth at Vegas, he's there permanently now. Kind of like Frank Sinatra, Elvis, those other guys.
I just looked it up just now for kicks. I see what you're talking about.
It is so funny. You will laugh your ass off.
What's he wearing? He's wearing some shiny disco shirt.
And he's got this cod piece on in his crotch, too, where it looks like how you'd tie your shoelaces up. He's got this shoelace crotch cod piece going. So,
hey, you gotta know when to
get over and watch that. Yeah,
yeah, you gotta know when to hang it up. Period.
Well, no, that's where you hang it up. He's an old man. They're giving him a residency there now. He can come down from his room after eating peanut butter chicken bananas. Remember, Elvis had a diet that. He had his chef make him peanut butter cornflake chicken.
Well, you know what I love about Elvis is there's certain people that have been so influential on the world that they have earned the title of king. Elvis was the king of rock and roll. Michael Jackson was the king of pop. Howard Stern is the king of all media. These guys were so huge. They became literal kings in an age where we don't have kings anymore. What do you have to do to get a title like that? The three kings.
Yeah. Kings of culture.
Yeah. I hope one day that I will be a king as well, and other people will call me a king.
Oh, you're already a king. You're the king of your own kingdom over there, Daniel. The End of Days Radio Kingdom. You know, you're the king.
I'm the king of crusty conspiracy podcasting.
Your show's the number one show in the world, buddy.
It's the number one show in the world for people that hate Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah, I can't stand that woman. But, so your show's got that going for you. But, on that that Salami guy from Iran that got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Salami.
Salami. Yeah.
Salami.
Salamamamami.
I heard he was killing a whole bunch of ISIS and Al Qaeda, and they hate that when you go over there and kill ISIS and Al Qaeda. It's like, God, you're going to take away the reason for our military-industrial complex to go over there and fight.
We spent all this time inventing ISIS and inventing Al-Qaeda. Don't kill them. We need them. We
can't have this
guy
cleaning up our dirty terrorists that we've created. Get rid of that guy. I don't think Trump really even... I love Trump. I love Trump, but I don't love all the swamp creatures that he's filled his administration with.
I don't love Trump, but recently, Todd, I have really looked at all the facts, and I had to admit to myself, he's doing a good job, at least with the economy. I mean, come on, are people really going to say that we haven't had improvements? Well, we had. That's just defying reality.
You don't love that flowing freaking hair, that style, that complexion? Always perfect.
No,
just got a tan.
I'm past that phase of my life where I hero worship anybody. He's just a dude to me. I mean, come on, these people, they're so self-important. You know, I'm a judge, I'm a president, I'm a doctor. No, you're just a person, just like me.
I build buildings. Yeah, I build buildings.
I'm a manager. I'm an owner. I'm this. I'm that. Fuck you.
I used to have a TV show, Elect Me as President.
Yeah, it's just, I don't hate him. I see what he is. He's a puppet, just like Obama or Bush or any of them. I liked Obama. I mean, I see no reason to hate him. Yes, he's a puppet, but is he the Antichrist or is he this murderous, evil man? I just don't see it. I just see kind of a half black guy that tries to do a good job. And same with Trump. I see somebody that tries to do a good job, and I don't, there's all kinds of conspiracy stuff you can talk about, but really, are these guys really tuned into that? I mean, they're being controlled just like we're being controlled when we go work for a corporation that's owned by the Rothschilds, or we go to our bank. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're no more controlled than the rest of us. We're all puppets of the Illuminati and the Rothschilds and the various other pieces of shit.
The whole political argument's created by them and the media, and they keep that going so that we can all get excited and have something to talk about while they sit and steal our futures out from under us.
Exactly, because that's I'm a cow! News,
that's all the news is designed to do, is make you think you're either left or right or you have an opinion.
It's all manipulation.
When in actuality, it's manipulation and psyop that takes your mind off what's real, which is you're being robbed of everything that's good for you.
Well, these people that get on Twitter and social media and all that, these like big conservatives and stuff, they don't really believe that stuff. They're just trolling. They're just taking the conservative stance because they know the conservative leaning people are going to be like, yeah. And that they have an inbuilt fan base. You can jump right into that if you want to.
Yep, and it's taken them a minute, Daniel, but they've developed computer systems and AI that have, if they don't have actual armies of people, they have armies of robots that are going out and doing the business of changing social consciousness. We're moving into the most dangerous age of all time, and it is pretty spooky. Because they're going to flip the switch. They're going to try to make this automated. That doesn't mean it always works, Daniel. Like, it's going to happen. Yeah, we got it this time. No, there's always bugs. There's always bugs when anybody tries to pull off a sneaky operation, you know, to overthrow people.
All right, good stuff, Todd, but I just realized we hit 40 minutes with you, so I got to let you go, buddy. I got to close this show off soon.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. Great show, Daniel. Good to talk to you, my man.
All right,
awesome. Keep rocking this, sucker. Keep rocking this.
Talk to you later, buddy.
All right, brother. Peace.
And that was him, Todd the Bod. Todd the God. People get really upset when they don't hear Todd because they've become so accustomed to hearing him on like every episode. It's almost like if we don't do a little Todd, there's a lot of people that just like, you know, people that have like obsessive compulsive disorder or they're very set in their ways are like, what's going on, Daniel? What's going on? So we got to try to include a little bit of Todd at least. I don't have a whole lot else to talk about. I hate to admit it, but I'm kind of freaking out about this game tomorrow. Seahawks game. It's just, when you've been following them all year and so much has happened, it's just the idea of the season ending and it all being over is really sad to me. So I just don't want that to happen, and I just can't sleep. And I'm thinking about Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm thinking about Russell Wilson, and I'm thinking about DK Metcalf like 24/7. They're in the back of my head, and I just want these guys to do well. And it's just, it hurts me waiting for this game to happen, and it hurts me, the idea that they might not win this game. And it's very sad, because I know if they don't win, the season's going to be over. And this is probably close to Pete Carroll's last year, if not his last. And Russell Wilson's not going to be playing for us much longer. And without those two, am I still going to even watch the Seahawks? I mean, hey, part of the reason I watch is because of the magic that Russell Wilson does on the field. Because he could be down by a lot of points and still find a way to, like, win with 2 minutes left. That's incredibly exciting. I mean, I complain about a fucking hangnail. I complain about a hangnail. This guy will win when he's so behind, and he'll still take the time to make a fucking 15-page report for his team members to read about the team that they're going to be playing the next week. That's his level of grit, determination, and dedication. And that's who I look up to. I'm like, fuck, how can I be the Russell Wilson of conspiracy radio? How can I never give in and always show up and fucking keep pushing, even when I know I'm down and out? How do you always keep that mindset, that champion mindset? It's amazing to me. But anyways, go Hawks. Remember, everybody, endofdaysradio.com. Endofdaysradio.com, where you can keep up on everything. End of Days Radio. Next show, we will be talking to our friend, Old Damagard. I have to wake up early for that. I have to wake up at 9 a.m. No, I have to be on air at 9 a.m. I got to wake up like at 7. Yay! Wake up super early. But it will be worth it, because he's the man. Oh, yeah. We're going to find out some secrets. Some secrets. Some dangerous secrets. Because that's what this show is all about. The most dangerous of secrets that will get us killed. The occult. The hidden. The unseen. The esoteric. We want to evolve your consciousness and blow your mind. Blow your mind. But hey, I love you guys. Thank you for listening. This is Daniel, broadcasting to you from Seattle. This is Daniel, the All-American Man, the D-A-N, the original inventor and creator and host and producer of End of Days Radio. The man himself. Pat self on back. Pat self on back. Pat self on back. I will talk to you next time, peoples.